Hello, dear ones. These next two episodes I'm releasing are meant to be sweet, meant to be a balm for the soul, and meant to wrap up this year with a dose of magic. It's been a challenging year for many, and so I really did want to finish the year with a reminder that even in the simplest moments of our lives, if our eyes are open, our hearts are open, we can see miracles. This episode, I'm introducing you to Erica D. Arcangelo, who tells a story of family, resilience, proud and unstoppable ancestors, pizza, and the mafia. I mean, we really brought a lot into the discussion this week that I normally don't get to talk about. But at its heart, this conversation is about what community looks like, what love looks like, and what kind of magic an immigrant family can weave in their cities and their towns. With discussion around immigration heating up and a new president coming in, I think it all behooves us to recognize what it looks like to welcome the stranger and how those strangers, those immigrants, can create great beauty and great food in the places where they land. Erica is an author, an entrepreneur, a marketing expert, but mostly she's Italian and comes from a long line of people who refused to give up. So now, without further ado, here's my conversation with Erica D. Arcangelo.
And so my great-grandfather was building a house by hand with my grandfather and with his siblings. And they came there to like collect, I guess, dues. And so my great-grandfather went to the house and he got a gun and he came back out and he was like, get off my property. And they never came back. And this was a story that my grandfather had told my dad and my dad told me. So I put it in the books. I thought like it was so interesting, but like my great grandfather and even my grandfather, like they were just like tough as nails.
How do you self-describe if you had to go to a party or a conference and you had to introduce yourself to a bunch of people? How would you do that?
Sure. I mean, I really like to keep it simple. So, I mean, I probably would just say like right now, my main focus is being the author of this book and promoting this message with, you know, my family and pizza and tradition and culture. So I would just introduce myself like that.
And can I make maybe a little bit of a guess that perhaps your ancestry is Italian? I hate to like tie in pizza and Italian, but it's like, you gotta go there. You gotta go there for some reason.
Oh, no, we're Italian for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then when did you guys emigrate? How did that happen? Them coming over to the US?
So my grandfather immigrated from Abruzzo, Italy, to the United States. And he came over. They were very poor. It was he and his three brothers and his parents. And he worked as a coal miner. Yeah. And his dream was always to open a pizzeria. So then finally in 1960, I think the coal mines had closed down at that point. And he ended up opening a grocery store. And then he started selling pizza. And here we are. It's still open. And it's been 65 years.
Oh, my gosh. And I'm going to guess that, you know, when they came over to the States, your grandfather wasn't even imagining that he'd work in a coal mine. And I'm guessing that it was like what was available. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, they came over looking for a better life. And my great grandfather started working in the coal mine. And then my grandfather and his older brother, they actually were pulled out of school before they finished school. And as, you know, adolescents, they started working in the mines. And at that time, it was really tough because there wasn't a union and the workers were treated so unjustly. And in the little town of Wimber on the east end, you had the Italians. And then on the west end, you had like, you know, the Irish, the Slovakians, Polish. And the people who worked in the mines, they didn't want the two groups to talk because of the injustices there.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So they purposefully kept them apart so that they couldn't, you know, advocate for better work conditions or advocate for safe. Because I would imagine at this time, like, safety was not a huge concern of the mine owners.
No, I mean, wages, safety, just the way the abuses that they suffered in the mines. And, you know, growing up, you know, my grandfather, I remember, like, as kids, he never got rid of anything. And so we never understood that. You know, we were in this big, big Italian family, and we were always fed and, you know, taken care of. And the reason why he kept everything is because he came here, he didn't have anything.
Yeah. I mean, I think unless you go through something like that, something where you really have to struggle and you kind of understand what you have to be grateful for, what there is to be grateful for, you really don't have any concept of what life can be like for other people. Was your grandfather, did he like talk about his work in the mines, or was it kind of a subject that was not talked about?
You know, he was so quiet. I barely remember him talking. I mean, he would go and talk to the neighbors, and he would speak. I heard him speak Italian, but he was very, very quiet. And he was one of those people that, you know, he went through a lot of suffering, a lot of hardship, but you never heard him say anything about it, never complained. And he just worked 24 hours a day. He was, you know, handling the furnace. He was, when the pizza place was open, he was making sure people were making the pizzas correctly. He was talking to the customers. He was helping the neighbors. And he just was like 24/7.
Okay. Like, absolutely a go-getter. I love asking this question because I do love pizza. What kind of crust was he a fan of?
Oh, it's so good. Okay, so basically, it's not like your traditional pizza. What it is it's a rectangular pizza, and it's 15 slices. And it's not a super thin pizza, but it's so delicious. And, like, my favorite part has always been the fact that you can have, like, a corner, you can have an end, you can have a middle. There's so many, so many good choices.
Okay, I am team corner. Yeah. Because I love bread, and it's like you get as much bread as possible, but then you get all the other good stuff. What team are you on?
Okay, so I have this fun. Okay, I always start with the end, and then I grab the corner, and then I get a middle. So, like, I'm always switching it up with pizza slices.
You've got a process. I was going to ask, now, where did your grandfather get this recipe from?
So from Abruzzo, from, you know, his ancestors. So we were really lucky. Like, you know, my grandmother, my grandfather, my grandmother, I think she had 11 or 13 siblings. And these people were, like, magnificent cooks. Like, at my dad's restaurant, like, one of the appetizers is the Aunt Rose homemade meatballs. And it's from my Aunt Rose, who used to make homemade meatballs. We have, like, the chicken parm sandwich with the homemade chicken cutlets. And I'm telling you, like, we had the best food growing up.
They were like these amazing culinary alchemists who were, I'm sure, probably just using or utilizing what was, like, right around them to create these amazing meals.
Absolutely. And I mean, that is, like, if you really look at the history of pizza, it was like, you know, you had the initial flatbread, and then people were, you know, using toppings from their garden. And then you have the margarita pizza from Naples. And, you know, as the time went on, you have all different pizzas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes. And it's like, I mean, I just remember, this is so terrible. Please don't judge me. Please don't judge me. I remember when Pizza Hut, okay, had the pizza where in the crust, they would put, like, the crust, the edge, they would put more pizza toppings inside the edge of the pizza. And I was like, my God, who came up with this? They're brilliant. They're genius. And then I got over it after a few years because there is, I mean, I grew up outside Chicago and, you know, you go downtown Chicago and the deep dish and all, which is like, if you eat too many of those, you're having a heart attack. That's just going to happen.
Yeah.
And then there's thin crust. You know, it's like this culinary, like just pizza extravaganza. And nobody likes the same. I mean, people like the same thing, but a lot of people don't. They all like their pizzas different. For me, I like a little sweet, a little savory. So I'm a fan of putting, like, I know, I hope this isn't an abomination for you, but a little pineapple, because I like a little sweet, and then maybe a little pepperoni or maybe a little banana pepper, like something to have like salty and sweet in the same pizza. Do you have a favorite kind of pizza?
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I have a lot of different favorites, but, you know, my main favorite is going to be our traditional, like our plain pizza. And then my second favorite is going to be, it's a hot pepper and pepperoni baked on, which is a super spicy pizza. But we have a pizza with pineapple and ham, and I will bake the pepperoni on that one. And I think, like, if you want like a sweet pizza, it's super delicious. The other pizza, which like, I think pretty much no one knows about, is my mom owns a jam company and she makes a jalapeno peach jam. So we do a pizza that's like the jalapeno peach jam. And then you have, that's like the sauce. And then you have the cheese. And in the summer you can cut fresh peaches and put jalapenos, and it's so, so good.
Okay, you've just blown my mind, and I don't even know how to process everything that you just told me. I feel like I might melt over here because that just sounds amazing. When I lived in Portland, I used to make jam all the time. And one of my favorite ones was like apricot habanero. And it would be this beautiful apricot with like the hint of the spice, but it was amazing on like ice cream because it would cook down, and it would vanilla ice cream, delicious on that, delicious in the center of like little cookies. I mean, there's so much you could do with it, but I never thought pizza, and you're brilliant. Okay. That's totally bonkers. And you've kind of made maybe my entire life with that statement. So thank you.
Well, I'm going to need to send you a jar of jam.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you that pizza is like, it's so delicious.
God, it sounds amazing. Well, you know, my second question always is, did you grow up in a religious household? And I'm so curious, you know, with your ancestry, I hate to make assumptions about, you know, Italy and Roman Catholicism and all of that, but I'm just curious how that unfolded for you as a kid and like how it's evolved since then.
Yeah, absolutely. So we were an Italian Catholic family. We had five kids in my family. We were all like a year and a half to 2 years apart. And, you know, my whole family was Catholic. So like Christmas Eve, pizza shop closed. We had 50 to 80 people. We had the seven fishes, the Italian Christmas Eve dinner. And that was every year. And my dad still does the seven fish dinner every Christmas Eve. And our whole family still goes home every Christmas for it.
I was going to ask you, so is your father the descendant of your grandfather, or is your mother?
My father is Italian. And it was funny because in my father's family, no one else had married a non-Italian. And my mom was Irish and Polish, and she lived on the west end of the town. And so when my parents got married, that was the first non-Italian person that married into the family.
That's amazing. And I was going to, because you brought up that she makes this jam, and I thought, oh my gosh, on both sides, your parents are these like chefs and creatives.
Yeah.
Is that what your mother does for a living, or is it kind of this sort of work/hobby she does?
So she has the jam business, but she's a master gardener. So she has all of her stuff that she grows, and she's super amazing at it. Like you go there and there's like, I mean, the harvest is just incredible. And then she picks all the berries and she makes the jam and she sells it, you know, at the farmer's market. And we have some different like farms and organic markets that serve it. We have it on the website. And then my dad, funny enough, was a superintendent of a high school. And he retired, but my grandfather had left him, my uncle, the pizzeria back in 1999. My grandfather passed away. So when my dad retired, he became a lot more involved in the, you know, going there when it was open, talking to the customers and just really taking over my grandfather's hat.
I was going to ask, you know, when you said that your grandfather opened this pizzeria, if there was kind of this implied assumption that your dad was going to take over or be a part of that lineage?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was, I think the reason that my grandfather, you know, opened it to begin with was so that he could have something for his family, because when he came here, they didn't have anything. So he really wanted to, you know, have something that he could pass down to us.
Just talk about what having kind of this lineage, creatives on both sides with your mother and your father. They're both like culinary creatives. They're both really artists, because I think master gardeners are artists, frankly.
Oh, you know, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so what has that meant for you in your life?
Well, you know, for me, like I started out, you know, I went to school for marketing and I did that for a very long time. And I even now have, you know, 3 marketing companies. And when the year that my dad, he had heart surgery, we decided to go to Western PA, and I really wanted to help my parents. And that's when my dad really started to like get involved back, you know, into the restaurant. So at that time, I said, hey, like, why don't we go together and like, I'll do your marketing and you can do whatever you do there. And it could give us a chance to spend some time together. And so it was so funny because at the time my dad was like, I don't believe in marketing. So I said, okay, that's fine. I said, I can help you for free. And let me just, you know, I can film content and just, you know, it'd be fun. So at that point in time, I think it was like right before COVID, and it was when TikTok started to be really big. So I started filming TikTok videos, and the next thing you know, I go to sleep, I get up the next day, and we have 1 million views on our TikTok video. And I'm like, huh, I'm like, this is weird. Like, okay. So I just sort of went from there.
Can I just say congratulations? Because I mean, honestly, how did you even deal with that? Because my head would have exploded.
Oh, I was so happy. I was like, I can't believe this is happening. And then I was like, all right, well, and it was so funny because I tested a bunch of videos, but the one that people liked was just cutting pizzas. So I was like, all right, you know, they sell like 100 pizzas a night. I can just take up 1 million videos of cutting pizzas. This is easy. So just did that. I mean, we have some videos with like 64 million views now.
Oh my gosh. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. And I mean, the best part was like, you know, my dad, like if I wasn't there with him, he would call me on the way home. So then he would say like, this person came in, they saw us on TikTok. This is where they're from. These college kids came in, they ordered this. And he's like, my dad's very sharp. So he knows like this person came in, this is where they're from, this is what they do, this is what they ordered. So almost every night that on his way back, he would be telling me.
And did you choose that moment to say, now do you believe in marketing?
Well, it's funny because they really like doubled like the first year and then doubled again, then doubled again. And so then after that, my dad was like, hey, like if you need a reference for put my name on it. Because, and I was like, well, you're my dad.
I'm sure that your grandfather, and I don't know, maybe I'm assuming too much, but new businesses are never easy. And there is always ups and downs, things go wrong. You know, maybe there's some crazy weather one day and the pipes freeze. I mean, who knows what could happen with a new business, besides to the fact that you suddenly understand your life is not your own and you have to be there every day. And you have to, you know, not only do the chefing, the cooking, the prepping, the maybe greeting people because they want to see the face behind the magic that's happening, but oh yes, all the accounting and keeping track of all the numbers and all of that stuff. Oh, and hiring people and making sure everyone's doing their, it is not for the faint of heart. Owning a business like that is not for the faint of heart. So I'm sure it wasn't all smooth sailing for your grandfather.
No, not at all. And the thing was, I never heard him complain. And me today, like being a business owner, like there's some days where I'm like, oh, this is great, I love it so much. And then there's other days where I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. This is not something that's very fun. And I think you have to really have like a purpose for what you're doing. Because that's the thing that helps you to tolerate those things that happen that you're like, that you weren't expecting.
Yeah, I do have to say. So, I mean, you described your grandfather as like this quiet man. So how did you discover, investigate, figure out kind of the story of your family and coming here? Like, how did you jump into that history?
Well, you know, my dad and I, we had a 20-minute drive from my parents' house to the pizzeria. So we would talk and he would start telling me all the stories. And just through that, you know, and then talking to like, you know, aunts and uncles and cousins and my mom, and just really like looking through the memorabilia, looking through the pictures, asking my dad, like, who's this? Who's this? And then he would always have like, well, this is your, you know, this is your grandfather's brother, Dominic. And this is the story with him. And he was in the military, and like, you know, whatever it was, he would tell me.
Can I ask, like, I don't know, what was one of your family's more memorable nights at the pizzeria?
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, I think we did an anniversary. I think it was it wasn't our 60th, because the 60th was COVID. I think it was like 55, maybe 58. But I remember our whole family decided to work that night. Like, you know, I have four siblings. So we all were like, we're going to help. My sister waitress, like we all worked in the kitchen and we were like, all right, we're all going to be there. And the entire place was full and there was a line out the door. And so like, just seeing that, like that place has been there since 1960, and like all the community comes there and has been supporting my family for, you know, the whole time it's been open. So that to me is like really, it's nostalgic and it's very like beautiful to see that.
I mean, that community support, I mean, of course you've been there so long, you're kind of this probably rock, you know, mm-hmm. in the middle of this community, and people know what they're going to get. When they go there, they know they might see friends, they might see family. You know, it's a place where the community can gather. And those places are so essential and needed in our world and our country right now. Places where people feel like they belong, where they feel like they can be themselves and have fun and just chill out and relax for a while. We need those places. So I love that your family has kind of cultivated this space where people can come and like hang out, oh, and have delicious food too, because I love delicious food. And I just, you know, that's like a magic. It's like you've hit this really gorgeous sweet spot where there's belonging, there's community, there's delicious food, and people can just come and chill out.
Yeah, absolutely. And this was, you know, the purpose of him opening it was to have that. And there are people that come in now that it's like their grandparents came in. And my dad will say, well, this is the grandson of this person who was friends with your grandfather. And I love it. I mean, like, you know, my sister had her baby shower there. Like we've had, you know, my brother, he did an album. Like he's an amazing musician. Both of my brothers are actually, and they put out an album. And so they played there. And so it's just sort of been like our place for our whole lives. And it's like a safe space. You go in there and like, you know, I would sit in there and work, you know, when I was there, and it was like, I can just feel the like presence of my grandparents. And there's something special when you walk in there.
I love that. It's their legacy. It's like this gorgeous place in the community of belonging and stuff. And, you know, I just think about those early days in the coal mine and, you know, the way that the Italians were kept away from the Slovakians, the other workers, the Irish, that they were like sequestered away from each other. And your grandfather kind of, it sounds like he's, you know, he curated and created this place where everyone was welcome. You know, you didn't have to, who cares if you were Irish, who cares if you're Slovakian or whatever, just come eat some pizza and relax.
No, absolutely. And the thing that we really loved is like, even like on the holidays, like my grandfather and grandmother, like they always wanted to make sure that people were welcome and that they weren't alone and that they had a place. And so every holiday, like we had just friends that they would invite. And that was just like a normal operating basis. Like they didn't want anyone to feel like lonely or left out, like they didn't, you know, have something. And so that was also like something I really loved about them, is just they were just very like generous, accepting people.
Yeah. And also I just think of like, especially where your grandfather came from, you know, having to drop out of school and having to go to work, just it kind of, the way he was in the world just shows incredible gratitude for where he came from, and knowing that as he probably looked around, that life was good.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the messages is like, you know, he didn't come into a perfect situation. He came into a situation with so many challenges and so many problems, and he could have chosen to just like, you know, agree with that. And that could have been his life, but he just persisted towards his dream, and he created that despite all the obstacles that he had to face. And that was when I wrote the story. It was like, you know, nowadays, like so many of us are like, you know, given so much. And then you have people who really aren't given anything, and then they really make the best of things. And I think that's just like so admirable.
Yeah. I mean, I think people who have to struggle and kind of surmount whatever challenges are in their way, they develop this really beautiful form of resilience and being able to suffer, whether it's a setback or it's a challenge, they're able to bounce back faster and able to roll with the punches and understand that this too will pass, you know, that it's not forever. And I also think that it takes a really special soul and spirit with, you know, endless certainty that life is good, that the world is good, that they have the power to create beauty, the power to create a place where people want to come. Those people are rare. And we need more of them in this world, and we need to cherish them when they're here, because they're the ones that are creating gorgeous change in the world. And it sounds like your grandfather was like that.
Oh yeah. He and my grandmother were both like that, and they were really in the business together. And I just, you know, as a kid, you don't see that as much, you know, you're a kid, but like, as an adult, I really like, there's been so many times where I think back about like, how they treated people, how kind they were, how accepting they were. And I really feel like too, my dad is really tried to continue that on with just everyone who walks in, just making them feel so welcome. And like, we're so glad that they're there and they get to eat and experience, you know, going there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really curious, because you brought this up about like the marrying of the non-Italian, et cetera, et cetera. So How did your grandparents meet?
So my grandmother was from a village that was very close to where my grandfather is from. It's called Chieti. So my grandmother also came to the United States, and Wimber was a very small town. So they went to school together, and that's where they met. Yeah. And they got married, and you know, I want to say lives happily ever after. They were really interesting though, because my grandparents, they really loved each other, but they argued. And my grandfather was from a time where, you know, women were not in charge, but my grandmother was of a personality that she was in charge. And so it was just a very interesting dynamic, but they, you know, very much loved each other. And it was very funny to see them, you know, interacting together at the restaurant, at the business together.
That's so funny. It sounds like your grandmother suffered no fools. She's like, I'm going to put my foot down here. And I'm sorry. Do you think you're right? Because you're actually not. Let me tell you why you're not right.
No filter. No. I mean, not no filter just with my grandfather. No filter with any of us. Like, one of us did anything, she was the first one. She would not hold back at all.
So super feisty. Was she also creative, like with food and stuff like that?
Oh, she was an amazing cook. I mean, so my grandparents lived upstairs from the restaurant. And so you would come in and you would, you know, you could have pizza. There's always pizza out on the board or whatever you wanted. Then you'd go upstairs, and upstairs there was a little old lady named Pearline Artis. And she lived right beside my grandparents, because they had apartments upstairs. And Pearl was always making Italian cookies. So she was always making butter cookies and pizzelles, and you could smell the coffee. And so you stop off there and Pearl would get you a cup of coffee and you have a cookie. And then you go to my grandma's, and she was like making like pizza frites and meatballs and cutlets. And so it was like literally just a lot of eating.
I seriously feel like I'm getting 20 pounds during this conversation, just to let you know.
I'm just going to like hang up and like order a pizza. Go eat pizza.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, I just love that idea of, you know, you go upstairs, there are these apartments, you kind of like stop, greet people, and along the way you kind of eat. It's like an eating sort of visit. That actually sounds like the best kind of visit to me. But yeah, those cookies, those sounds of butter cookies. Oh my God, I'm dying right now.
Yeah, the Italian butter cookies with like the little icing and the little like sprinkles. Those are my ultimate, like ideal favorite. Like we still have an aunt that makes them at Christmas. So when we go home, my mom has like tubs of them and we literally eat them the entire Christmas break.
God, I would be so worried about eating way too many. I love cookies so much. I do have celiac, so I actually cannot eat regular pizza and cookies anymore, which thank God, because otherwise I would be like Cookie Monster. I remember watching Sesame Street, right? When I was a kid and Cookie Monster would come on and then he'd have cookies and he would just like start shoving cookies in his mouth and he didn't eat any of them, and they would break apart and fly everywhere. But as a kid, I was like, oh my God, he's eating all those cookies. And I just wanted cookies so bad at the end of that show. So just knowing that for the holidays, I would be going somewhere where I would be the worst and I would just cheat and make myself sick because I have no willpower. Just putting that out there. So I would love to ask you the main question of the podcast, and you can share more than one story. I'd love to hear any stories of something that you considered to be that has happened in your life, or maybe even a story you know, something you've witnessed. It could have happened to someone else, whatever or however many stories you'd like to share.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I can do that. So, I don't know if it's miraculous, you know, so to say, but I will tell you that about 7 or 8 years ago, my father said, okay, this is all our whole family, 5 kids, my parents, my sister's husband, my daughter. So we were like, my dad said, look, I want to take you guys all to Italy, to Abruzzo, to see the family. And I want to take you on this trip. And you know, we sort of coordinated the schedules of like all 9 of us and figure out we're going to take 3 weeks in Italy. And so my dad actually planned this whole entire trip to Italy for us. And we all went. And it was kind of like almost like the beginning of this journey of like, this is where our families were from. And then from that, you know, we got back and my dad went and he found all the naturalization records from, you know, when everyone immigrated. And now my dad and my mom are living in Abruzzo and my dad's getting his citizenship. So they're in Abruzzo right now living there.
Talk about going full circle.
Yeah. Yeah. And he wants us to then get our citizenship, but they've been there now for about 2 months and they're going to be there probably like, you know, on and off for the next year. And it's just really an experience. You know, he's there where, you know, our family is from and he's, you know, living there, which is so interesting.
I mean, that's just really magical. The whole idea of going back and claiming your ancestry and claiming your inheritance. I mean, claiming where you came from. Did it feel like home to them when they got there or to your father?
I really think to a degree it did. I mean, my dad is such a different person in Italy. Like it's just, it feels like he's home. Like he just very happy and relaxed. And he and my mom really enjoy, you know, the life of an Italian, which is so different than when they're here and, you know, just running around and working. And I think the first week or two, my mom and dad even said, like, they're like, we're really adjusting because like everything closes in the afternoon and you take a nap and then you go to dinner at like 9 at night, but it's something really beautiful that they get to do together.
Yes. I suspect that it's a little bit of a different lifestyle that things, they kind of chill out maybe a little bit more than we do in the States running around like chickens with our heads cut off. Well, I mean, how magnificent to make that return journey and just claim that that belonging and that, I don't know, there's something just so powerful there of just going back to where you came from and getting to know the land, getting to know the language, getting to know, you know, the art, everything. That's really gorgeous. Thank you for sharing that story. I'm sure, I don't know, have they had any adventures yet there?
Oh, my mom just went on this like 6-mile hike through like Cinque Terre. And she was like, she said she never thought that she would be able to do that before. So that's been like this week's adventure. But I think every week is an adventure for them. Like they've been going on day trips and sometimes the GPS like just takes them, like they're not really sure where they are. They find their way back.
That's hilarious. Mm-hmm. And that's really potent. What a potent story. Oh my goodness. I've not heard that story yet. I'm sure for them, it just feels a little surreal, a little like honoring your grandfather,
yeah, you know,
and his story, and kind of going back to maybe even discover more, like your dad to discover more about himself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very beautiful. And, you know, what we talked about is, you know, the book is out and now I'm doing a children's book series based on the book. And I really want my dad to, you know, he's talking about maybe doing some itineraries for Italy for people, because he really knows like where to go and what to eat and where to stay and all that stuff. Cause he's been going there for so many years.
I see the creative entrepreneur is still alive and well in your family.
Oh, for sure.
Just on a different continent, but it's still there.
Oh yeah. My parents are really productive.
Someone has to be. So thank God it's them.
Yeah, right.
Well, are there any other stories you'd like to share? I'm here for whatever.
Okay. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Oh yeah, I do have a good one. Okay, so it's one of the stories in the book. And so back when the coal mines were open, there was actually like a lot of Italians that immigrated to Wimber, and there ended up being an Italian mafia, interestingly enough. And so my great-grandfather was building a house by hand with my grandfather and with his siblings. And they came there to like collect, I guess, dues. And so my great-grandfather went to the house and he got a gun and he came back out and he was like, get off my property. And they never came back. And this was a story that my grandfather had told my dad and my dad told me. And so I put it in the books. I thought like it was so interesting. But like my great-grandfather and even my grandfather, like they were just like tough as nails.
Okay, what? I can't even imagine saying no to the mafia.
Oh yeah, no, he said, get off my property. And he had a gun and he brought it out and they left and they never came back.
Okay, that's crazy. What?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, okay. There were some angels over the house that day. That's what I have to say.
Yeah, I was shocked when my dad told me that. We were like laughing, but if you would have known, like I never knew my great-grandfather, but my grandfather was like tough as nails. Like he was just tough. So then just to think like my great-grandfather and they had four boys and like he was probably tougher than my grandfather even was.
Wow. Well, what an incredible model for your grandfather, you know, seeing his great-grandfather stand up against bullies, these people yeah. trying to control other people's lives. We need more people like your great grandfather in this world too.
Yeah, really?
Just saying.
Yeah, he was an interesting character because he was very tough, but like underneath it, he was also like, he loved his family, but he had sort of also a dark side. And I think he just went through a lot of maybe trauma. I think today we call it trauma, but he had a tough life.
Yeah. I mean,
it's my grandfather. Go ahead.
Oh no. I was just going to say, it sounds like it. I mean, I can't even imagine like having to leave your homeland to go to a totally foreign place and then rebuild your life.
Yeah. Not speaking the language, having no money, having four kids and a wife. I mean, I couldn't imagine.
I would turn into a puddle and maybe go cry in the corner for like a year.
Yeah. Did that. It would be a tough initial tough, like an ice bath.
But he did it. He did it and he made it through and he chased off the mafia.
Oh, yeah, he did. And I mean, they built a house. That's one of the other stories in there is they actually like, you know, they came from nothing and they ended up saving the money, built a house. My grandfather saved money. He bought the building. He remodeled the building. He, you know, put up the rental units. He started the pizzeria and it was just like, just hard work, you know, just never, ever quit.
Yeah, I was going to say he never gave up. It's like he just knew there was going to be something better and he never gave up.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And again, I mean, he could have just been like, okay, I'm done. You know, I work in the coal mines. I'm not going to do anything else. But he had a greater purpose.
Yeah. I love that. Thank you. I find that to be like magical and miraculous too. Like just knowing that you have a greater purpose that can get you through anything in this life. Just having this deep sense that there is something out there greater for you can kind of help you get through anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, I will say just, you know, my own story, I was a single parent and I had a 3-year-old. And so it was like, that's when I first started my marketing business. And I just thought, you know what? I can do this. I'm gonna be able to raise this child. And she just started college in the fall. So it all worked out, but there definitely were times where it just wasn't easy.
Oh yeah. But you come from this lineage that's tough as nails. I mean, I think we can all say like, you're kind of unstoppable just by virtue of your lineage.
Yeah. Don't give up.
Amazing.
Yeah, I don't have it in me. I can't do it.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to the very last episode of 2024. And I hope my conversation with Erica D'Arcangelo warmed your hearts and reminded you that we can use our ancestors' strengths to forge brave and bright new lives for ourselves. I need to thank Erica for being a guest on the podcast. And if you do want to find out a little bit more about this incredible human being, please do click on the link in the episode show notes. You can travel on over to her website and discover more about the book that she's written, about her family, and about that delicious food called pizza. Please do remember that ratings and reviews are where it's at, and those ratings and those reviews help other people find us. So wherever you listen, please consider clicking on 5 stars or leaving a little review just to help us over here know that we're doing a good job. It's been a wild and woolly year for so many this year, but please do know I am not going to ever stop this podcast. I mean, I shouldn't say not ever, but I am planning on continuing it for several years, so fear not. Episodes of magic, episodes of miracles, reminders that this world is a beautiful place will continue to be forthcoming. And how do I end my podcast? And how do I end this year? Like this. Thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like Erica. Honor your ancestors. I mean, we've all come from somewhere and we all carry the attributes of those who've come before us. So what were their strengths? What were their weaknesses? What did they struggle with? How did they triumph? You can brew all of this up in a magical mystery elixir and just consider where you've come from. Consider the stories your family holds. And you can just mix that brew up, add a little bit of sparkling gold dust, and then there's you. And you can use this magical brew. You can use this miraculous heritage from your ancestors to help yourself go out and make this magical world an even more beautiful and spectacular place for all of us to live. Happy New Year, everybody. And I'll see you next week on the flip side. And until then, I hope these last few days of 2024 are filled with good friends, delicious food, including pizza. I mean, let's just say it, including pizza, and reminders that life is indeed very, very good.